Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our short series of studies, The Christian as an Ambassador. On our last broadcast, we showed how and where he was chosen to be an ambassador, and we will review that again very briefly. We approve ourselves in this great position by our reactions to the trials that come upon us. Today, we wish to consider approving ourselves by the graces that come from within us. We can approve ourselves in our high calling of ambassadorship by, indeed, the display of the graces of God that come from within us. We're going to turn again to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And we do ask you, if you have your Bible near at hand, that you will get it. And I think you will appreciate the study more as you read the scriptures with us. We read there, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." Why not? Because he imputed those trespasses to Christ. Let's go on. "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." We are the ambassadors now. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Going on in the next verse, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This is a high calling, and this is indeed our calling, and he wants us, and he tries to show us in the very next chapter the emergency character. We've been sent into a foreign land as ambassadors. That's where they go. They're a representative of their home country. Our home country is heaven. We noticed that on the last broadcast. We can't go over all that ground again. But we are to realize the emergency character of our service. Now in chapter 6, verse 1, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in prayers." Now notice, please, in the sixth verse, there's a different approach. By pureness. These are the things that come from within us, the graces of God. Now we can approve ourselves as the ministers of God, as we have already done in the verses, two verses prior to this, by our reaction to the trials that come upon us. People are watching us. How are they taking this? Our sustenance is of God. Now notice, please, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the Word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. These are the graces that we use to prove that we are indeed ambassadors. And Paul says you can do it. He wouldn't have admonished us to do it if we couldn't do it. Now notice, please. By pureness, what does that mean? Does that mean absolute sinlessness? By reason of the fact that pureness is admonished to us here? No, the pureness here is not the absence of sin. Because the sinner still has sin in him. We do not believe in sinless perfection. he still has that old nature within him, but it is to be held down. It is to be subdued. The tyrannous here is without alloy. It means without anything in it, in our devotion to the Lord, to spoil it. It means that we're 100% for Christ. We're His. We're not with one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord's ambassadorship. We are in a foreign nation. We are in the world. But the Lord Jesus tells us in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, in His high priestly prayer, we're not of the world. That's very, very important. So here we see that we do it by pureness, our unadulterated, our absolute conviction, 100% service for Christ. Now, we read on, by knowledge? Yes. By knowledge of what? By knowledge of the gospel. It's teaching. The gospel is so simple as we present it, but yet when you pursue it into its great depths of meaning, you see how God is magnified by his presentation of the gospel. For instance, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love it. It's a treatise on the gospel, and you can just get into that so far that you're overwhelmed at the depths of the meaning of the gospel, of God's dealings with us. To not only save us from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin, and someday, thank God, from even the presence of sin. So we see that we need a knowledge of the gospel. God does not put any premiums on ignorance. And believe me, that's true in the spiritual realm. It's by knowledge. It's by long-suffering. It's by patience. We indeed need to be patient with the people that we're dealing with. And we need to use kindness, we need to use long-sufferingness, indeed we're continued or occupied particularly by kindness at the present moment. We'll get to the others a little later. We have to be kind to people. We are not harsh in presenting the subject matter of the gospel. We should be loving and kind, beseeching people. Not being harsh. Nothing is gained by being harsh in the matter of seeking people. The scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise. By the Holy Ghost, the convicting power of the sinner is the work of the Holy Ghost. We read in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. The Lord is speaking to his disciples before he dies. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, and it's capital C, it's the Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That word is really convict. It's the Spirit of God that convicts sinners. We don't have to do that. We need to be long-suffering. We need to be kind. We need to let the Holy Spirit do the convicting power. And then it's by love, unfeigned. Indeed, it is that unfeigned love that reaches them. That unfeigned love will help us to be kind to people when we speak to them. And this which should be a matter that's brought up in the matter of the Holy Spirit, too. When we seek to lead people to Christ, we don't grab them by the pills of their coat and draw them up to us and say, you're a sinner going to the hell, and if you don't get saved, you're going to be in hell. We don't do that. We don't use that practice. God has to convict by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we complement it by love unfeigned. We were once ignorant of these things, and we did not see them until the Spirit of God revealed them unto us. And how important it is for us to realize that wonderful, wonderful fact that the Spirit is the convictor, and we by love lead them to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, for instance, listen to him as he writes the 9th chapter of Romans, that treatise on the gospel. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. In the next chapter, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It was his consuming desire that those people might learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he, with unfeigned love, sought to win them to Christ. Now, the power is of God, and we must realize that. By the word of truth, by the power of God. God has the convicting power. He has the saving power. We may plant, we may water, but God gives the increase. And certainly, pardon me, we need to remember that and let the Spirit of God do the work. Now, the Spirit applies the pressure and not us. These are some of the things that we need to remember in the matter of reaching souls for Christ. And it's by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Let's not forget that. The armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, this means that we live a righteous life and we can back up by our life what we are preaching. The unsaved are very intelligent. God gives wisdom to all men. We read that in the first chapter of James, verse 5, that God gives liberally to all men. He gives wisdom, and they can tell when we're inconsistent in our lives. And that has something to do. This grace that comes from within us, the righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Let's do not let people stumble over us into a lost eternity. Righteousness becomes us, and we need that this grace might be true of us on the right hand and on the left. Now, these are just some of the ways that we do the lifestyle of the ambassador as he lives for God and indeed shows the graces of God out through him himself as he seeks to win others to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, today we pray that you will just take these stumbling words that we have spoken in all earnestness and give them the power of the Spirit of God in their application to human hearts. Sometimes, Father, we get over anxious, don't we? But let us help your servant, your Spirit, to do that work for us and save souls over this broadcast. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Amen.